The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that teenage me watched and was like, Denise Richards is the worst scientist I've ever seen in my life. Until she's wearing a white tank top and is completely underwater. And then I was like, Denise Richards is the best scientist I've ever seen in my life.
The movie that underwent rewrite after rewrite from multiple screenwriters until finally they had enough levels for the N64 game.
The movie that finally replaced the actor who played Q in 17 movies with a fan favorite, just as charismatic, very funny, amazing John Cleese, who went on to play Q in all the other Bond movies. What's that? Just the next one? Are you sure? Well, as long as he wasn't in any other video games. Wait, what? How many video games? The man is a lit.
This is The World Is Not Enough on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are back with our very good friend, Mr. James Bond, 007 himself, License to Kill, License to Fuck.
One of our heroes, I guess.
Yeah, certainly an icon.
We've talked about it. This is like the fifth movie? No, fourth?
Fourth, I think, that we've talked about. This is The World Is Not Enough. This is 1999, correct?
Yeah, in 99, this movie made $126,943,000. It did better than the last one that we talked about.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies. It did better than GoldenEye.
Did better than GoldenEye, yep.
And it...
probably because Tomorrow Never Dies is pretty fucking cool. People were like, I gotta go see that next one.
Yeah, so you get the sense in this movie, and halfway through I felt it, like, this is not only a sequel to Tomorrow Never Dies, it's a sequel to GoldenEye, the fucking video game.
For sure.
Because this movie feels like it's set up, all the big action pieces feel like a video game.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels like levels in a video game, for sure.
Yeah, they all do. And then when you start looking into it, one of the fucking screenwriters for this movie was a writer for GoldenEye, the video game, and went on to write for all the other video games, or at least all the other Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
The Bond games, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and this is also a movie, I mean, you mentioned it made, you know, almost $130 million, which is not bad, domestically, of course.
Yeah.
It also made $120 million in product placements.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, when we were going to watch this, I was like, dope, I remember that movie being pretty fun. And now I feel like when I watched as a teenager, I was like, oh, I like those cars and the, you know, all the product placement and the video game shit in this movie because it's not that good.
No, it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially after, and if you go back in the feed not that long ago when we talked about Tomorrow Never Dies.
That was like four episodes ago.
We liked that movie.
Yeah, quite a bit. That was a very fun, well done movie. And this one, it feels crazy rushed. And they made another movie after this one.
Right. Which is also so-so.
Yeah, which is, I mean, but maybe I remember everything incorrectly, but it's better than this one, I think.
Possibly. I remember this one, until today at least, I remembered this one more fondly than that one. Expectations are a bitch, you know?
Yeah, maybe that one was just like too long and complicated, and then this one is just, you know, video game shit happening.
Yeah, that's true. This one is also kind of weirdly complicated in the way that, I mean, in fairness, most Bond movies are.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Something about the action. I don't know if it's the director. The director's done a lot of good stuff. We've actually talked about him all the way back.
Yeah.
When we were doing the 80s movies.
Over a decade before this.
1980s. Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah, way back. So that was that one movie where there was a lot of rape in it.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. A lot of spousal abuse.
A lot of spousal rape in it, yeah.
That's a very good drama movie, and he's done very good dramas.
But then after this, not much. Like, this is like his biggest theatrical movie. And then, I mean, he gets some straight-to-video stuff. A ton of TV and some documentaries and stuff like that.
Big,
you know,
TV guy after that, involved in Rome. But it also did Enough after this. Enough's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Enough is the last big theatrical movie he did after this one. Yeah, sorry about that. That was the one with J-Lo and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's one where J-Lo learns Krav Maga.
Yeah, it's also hard to fuck that up. She's like an abused girl who learns Krav Maga and then kicks a dude's ass or beats him to death. I don't remember how it happens, but it's hard to fuck that up.
That's
true. It's hard to not root for that character.
Yeah.
But it's very lacking, this movie. It feels like a Universal Studios ride.
Yeah.
Like, all the set pieces feel like they're just set up for you to kind of be like, oh, there's no real danger in this. Like, we're just watching some action shit happen.
That's true.
You know, and even the character stuff is fucking weird. Like, all right, well, I guess let's get into it. It's got a weird cold opening.
Yeah, so it's got a kind of a double cold opening.
It does.
So according to the trivia, the original cold opening is just that very short little sequence that ends with him using a dude's body to rappel down a building. Pretty good.
It is pretty good. So he shows up. He's in Spain? Yeah, he's in Spain. Yeah. He shows up to this meeting. And first of all, he's got glasses.
He does.
And I was like, all right, if you know James Bond, you shouldn't. He doesn't wear glasses. He's not a nerd, first of all.
That's right.
So those are gadget glasses. They're there for gadget shit.
Yeah.
And he's like messing with them. And I was like,
he's messing with them a lot.
Clearly doing gadget shit on them. And then sure enough, well, he takes his gun out and he puts it on the desk to kind of be like, yeah, I'm not here to shoot anybody. It's also within reaching distance, so he could have easily grabbed it and shot somebody.
But he doesn't need to because it blows up.
Yeah, it blows up. It blows up within 4 feet of him and does not hurt him in any way. Which he was expecting. Makes me feel like it's still kind of like a firecracker.
Yeah, it was. Because all it did was like blind them so he could grab their guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he knocks a bunch of them out.
It was like Krillin's fucking like sunburst attack that he always used that would blind the enemy for like 2 seconds in Dragon Ball. And you'd be like, oh, Krillin's useful. And then he would just get fucking wrecked.
Yeah. Because that's all he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's there for a bag of money, for a suitcase of money.
Right.
That the Spanish have. He does do what you said. Well, he knocks a bunch of them out. He's about to get killed, and then a sniper out of nowhere.
Well, before that, so he has the one guy basically dead to rights. That guy gets shot in the back with a dart.
He gets stabbed with a butterfly knife type of deal. It's like a knife.
Oh, okay.
Like a
switchblade. It's a knife. I thought it was a dart.
It's like a switchblade.
Okay. So it's knifed in the back.
Yeah.
And then it's the lady that was like the secretary and she runs off.
Yeah.
And then as Bond's, a guy sneaking up behind him or whatever to shoot him in the back or knife him in the back. Probably knife. We'll say knife.
Probably same.
He gets, that guy gets snipered.
Yeah. The guy, he pulls a gun on him. He gets snipered. We see the little light and he gets snipered. And then he does, it is a very cool thing what he does, which is he's going to jump out the window.
That's right.
Because the police are there. And then he ties a rope to a guy that's passed out and then jumps out the window, hoping that the guy will anchor him.
Yep.
He could have also done that with the piano or whatever, with the fucking desk or whatever.
Guy.
Yeah.
For
but
sure
it is a lot cooler that it's a guy. Because then the guy's like holding on to the fucking desk.
Well, and at first, I thought the guy was dead. I think
we
both did.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, when I die, I hope that I can somebody uses my corpse like a fucking badass to rappel down a building. That'd be a good way to
fucking anchor. Yeah. No, the guy's alive, so he hangs on. It's pretty fun. It's a pretty funny little thing. He does have the missed opportunity that you mentioned.
That's true. I was really expecting it when he gets down there because there's some people that looks at him and he just gives them a look. I was expecting like a elevator was out.
Yeah, just a funny quip that he was going to throw in there.
Stairs were broken. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like, mind if I drop in?
Yeah,
like, you know.
Exactly. Something.
Yeah, some cool James Bond thing. But no, instead he runs away.
And so that, I guess, in the original cut, that's it. That's the cold open.
Yeah. We were immediately like, that didn't feel good at all.
Yeah.
Like, that was
very weak.
It felt like a television spy show opening.
That's if this was James Bond, the TV show from the 1960s, that would be before the credits.
Yeah. Like one of those where Lee Majors was a fucking spy and shit.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like that. Like, oh, this is big enough for a TV show, not big enough for a fucking James Bond.
Right. Which the test audiences agreed.
Agreed, yeah.
So they moved the next big action sequence into the cold opening.
Yes.
Making this cold opening like the fucking longest. It was super like long.
28 minutes before.
Yeah, it was 57 minutes before the hour, movie proper
hour
started.
Hour 45 before we get the... And we all forgot about it. And then the fucking opening thing came up.
Before you know it, the movie's over.
Yeah, it was right before the final conflict. We get that...
The first time I ever read a... Because, you know, comics usually... You have like the little title page at the very beginning,
right?
Or sometimes it'll be like the second page in, where it'll be like a little bit of something, and then it'll be like the title page, and it'll tell you who wrote and directed, you know, or not directed, but you know, who wrote and who was the artist and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember the very first time I read a comic that had it at the last page, and by that point I had completely forgotten that there was no title page.
Yeah.
Then you get to the last page and the title page is suddenly there, and you're like, oh, because the thing that just happened, this is the title of the, oh my God.
Oh, that's right. Good job.
Yeah.
You got me. You got me.
That's what this James Bond movie did, by lulling you into a false sense of security.
Yes.
That you were already watching a James Bond movie.
That would have been awesome, actually.
At the very end?
Yeah. Or not at, you know, at the very end. Like, we're like watching and stuff, and then they're going to get to the submarine. James Bond jumps in, crawls the submarine, and then it's like, dun it. Dun it. I would have been like, what? We hadn't had that before. What happened?
Yeah. That would be pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'd be like, and then I would check the time and be like, there's 15 minutes left in this movie.
Yep.
Like, what's happening? Also, they could include all the stuff that we've already seen in that opener.
Well, and it would also be, it would be really fun if they just marketed the movie as like James Bond with no subtitle. And so you didn't know what it was.
What it was called until then?
Until right then. And then like, it was like, oh, because the thing they just said or whatever, you know what
there
I mean?
This is one of those movies where James Bond does definitely say the name of the movie.
100%. Yeah.
So what if right after he right says after that, he says
it, the minute yeah, he says yeah. it goes into He's the like, fucking.
Well, the world is not enough. Done it.
I've been good.
I would have been like, all right, we're playing a fucking video game. All right, we're doing this.
Yeah. But anyways, let's talk about the Batboat.
Yes. So okay. So then he gets the money, and then we find out that M is friends with this guy who helped him get these files for the sabotage thing that's happening, and they're paying him. They're giving him that money.
Well, it's his money, right?
It's his money. They're giving him money back
because he bought a legal thing, but then shared it with them.
It doesn't
make a whole lot of sense.
He was paying them for these files on something, yeah. And then they got the money back. But then it turns out that the bad guy has set up an explosive, switched out his lapel pin.
Right.
Boom, explosion. James Bond sees that hitman lady again outside. That's right. Pointing a gun at him. Also, I don't know why she's there if they're counting on the explosion killing him, but whatever.
Yeah, backup.
Just a backup.
I mean, yeah. Look, this villain is nothing if not multi-level planner.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, then James Bond proceeds to follow this killer in an awesome bat boat.
That's true.
Now, that we then later find out was Q's retirement boat.
Seems ridiculous.
Because it has the capability to fucking, like, dive. It also has missiles.
Also, if he's using it for fishing, that just does not seem like a comfy fishing boat.
No, it goes 120 miles per hour.
And also,
and he's 89 years old.
And where's the beer? There's no room in that thing for beer.
No, and that's not till later. The other car that they talk about, it has 18 cup holders or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the retirement car.
That's the retirement car, exactly.
Yeah, where are you fishing in this high-speed spy boat?
Yeah, no.
It has jet propulsion.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you fishing in this thing, man?
And torpedoes, you know, for the big... Fucking
maybe
Q's, whales.
He's just an adrenaline junkie.
Is he a whale guy?
Yeah, maybe he's like.
Is he fucking Captain Ahab?
I can't wait to retire and shoot whales down at 125 miles per hour.
Back when I was first born, whaling was perfectly legal, and I don't like these new laws. So I'm gonna go fucking kill some whales with a torpedo.
Yeah, international waters. I'm taking this bat boat.
Yep.
No, it looks 100% like a Batman boat.
It's 100% the bat boat.
Yeah, it's like a very sharp and. Black.
And black and has jet propulsion.
Yeah, it has the actual jet propulsion. It looks like the jet propulsion from the Batmobile from
the 60s.
From the 60s, yeah.
Or for that matter, from the 89 version had it too. And the cartoon.
Yeah, so it looks just like a fucking Batboat. But he takes it in a pretty solid action
sequence. If you told me Bruce Timm drew that shit, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And damn near has wings. That's all it needed, really, to be able to fucking be a Batboat. Or just to have those.
Which brings me back to my point. Robert Pattinson should be playing James Bond, not Batman.
He could have done both. I don't understand why he doesn't do both.
Just Bond.
He can do both, my friend.
He cannot.
He can do both.
You can't be both. That's too much power for any man.
If you can be Magneto and Gandalf, I feel like you can be both Batman and James Bond.
No.
Also, that brings me to this movie is a lot like Dark Knight Rises.
Kind of,
yeah. It's got like the Bane character. It's got a little bit the Bane character Robert Carlyle. Natalia. And the Talia character who he falls in love with, and it's a philanthropist, rich philanthropist.
That's true.
Who then turns their kind of like idea of his chaos and her like revenge thing. Like it has.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
it has true. A lot of that. It has a lot of that.
Well, and Nolan, famously, very big Bond guy.
Yeah. So you could see it. You could kind of put it together in this one.
That's true. I didn't think about that till just now.
And it's got a bat boat, so you know that makes sense.
It's got a bat boat.
Yeah. James Bond goes on this fucking insane ride on this bat boat where he is just tearing through restaurants.
I do love. So this chase scene is pretty ridiculously long because it starts off and he's basically doing regular boat things, right?
Yeah. Also, Q yells at him that it's not finished. So at first he's having kind of trouble controlling it a little bit. And then he's just like playing with buttons and shit. He pulls a dive thing and dives underwater with no cover in any way, so he gets soaking wet and he fixes his tie. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good bit.
No. Yep. But yeah, at the point where the villain finally seems to get away and then the boat is like, no. I got this. I'm a bat boat.
Yeah.
And then James Bond starts flying through the streets of, like, not flying, but like
he's,
sliding.
He's sliding through,
he's
yeah.
sliding through the streets of fucking London.
Because boats come to a point on the bottom.
Yeah, they're not supposed to work like that, I don't think.
No, but he's sliding through, cutting through like markets.
Yeah,
and
restaurants.
Businesses. He cuts through a restaurant full of rich people in
it. Yeah.
He could easily kill 25 of those rich people.
Easily.
He doesn't even fucking stop.
Although I do feel like if I'm a rich person eating at a restaurant and James Bond rolls through in a bat boat, I'm telling that story forever.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you were rich, not if you became rich and did that, but if you were born rich, you'd be like, blah, blah, blah.
That's true. I would be a grumpy old fuddy
daddy. Yeah, right. Also, they were all, like, old rich people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him the caviar.
I'll complain to the Duke.
Yeah.
About this, I will.
The Prime Minister will hear about this. He will. It's a movie where, because it's a video game, it doesn't matter how many brainless characters you're killing. Randomly.
NPCs don't matter.
They don't matter, exactly.
Just like in GTA. Just run that shit over. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. So he does. It is very careless. He does a lot of shit that I was like, wow, probably a lot of people that blew up.
Yeah.
Like she blows up that one barge and then it happens to be next to a bunch of oil tanks or some shit. And then
that's
they explode.
That did make me laugh quite a bit.
Again,
because
video game logic.
Yes, exactly. She just happens to, her ship just happens to blow up next to a bunch of oil drums that have little signs on them that are like highly explosive.
Yeah.
Why were those there?
Yeah. No,
they're just there on the fucking dock for no reason.
It's a Winthrop thing. Like, our job is to stack these.
Let's walk back and forth with this sheet of glass.
Yeah, but it's video game logic and Universal Studios ride logic.
That's true.
Finally, she crashes. Well, he shoots torpedoes at her and she's like, well, I better get out of here. Like, smashes into the side of this big arena thing where there's a hot air balloon.
Yes.
And then, luckily for her, she's one of those assassins that is also trained in hot air balloon piloting.
Although, I mean, in fairness, it doesn't seem that hard.
I feel like it's incredibly hard.
All she's doing is turning the nozzle.
Every now and then, one of those things kills, like, 15 people. Like, I feel like it's incredibly hard to... Also, how do you know which one to turn? Because there's, like... There's a bunch of tanks hanging off of the thing, first of all. Second of all, there's like two burners on top. So anyway, she knows how to use it right away. Turns it on to take off. James Bond, again, flies the bat boat straight into a crowd of people.
That's right.
Jumps out, lets it land wherever it may in this very crowded tourist attraction.
James Bond is a man that fights for freedom. He's not going to tell a boat where it can land and not land. If that boat wants to land on 15 babies, it's going to land on 15 babies. It does not matter.
Also, all right, because the point is, he grabs onto the hot air balloon and then the helicopter show up and he's like, you're caught, you're not going anywhere. And she's like, I'm going to shoot this tank and kill myself. And he's like, you don't have to do this. I'll help you. And she's like, you can't help me from him, and then kills herself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No new information is gathered from that.
True.
So if James Bond had done nothing, they would have still had the same exact amount of information that they had after he killed possibly 45 people.
True, but the sexy assassin chick would have gotten away.
Yeah, but then you get a sexy assassin chick for later.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that you can use.
That's a good point.
And she's kind of like a Tia Carrera-looking chick. Like, she's a cool kind of like Hawaiian-looking kind of, maybe Polynesian.
I thought she was more like...
maybe Asian?
Like Spanish-looking, but...
maybe.
You might be right. I don't know.
Maybe like a Mila Kunis, where we don't know which she is.
We don't know, yeah. Just, a regular Vin Diesel?
Yeah. Just a perfect amount of jeans that just make a...
that nobody really understands.
No, so it's, but we're about it.
Whatever it is, we're
it's working. It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, once again, James Bond. For no reason, everybody's in danger.
I mean, that's the action hero credo, right?
Right. So then we learned...
So then M says, I need your gun and your badge. You're a loose cannon.
Yeah, you're loose cannon. We can't let you on a case until you're cleared by this very hot, sexy doctor.
Well, because he got shot in the arm.
He got shot in the arm.
Or the shoulder.
The shoulder. Yeah. He gets hit in the shoulder or shot in the shoulder?
I think he
dislocates his shoulder. That's what she says. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can't be, you're a loose cannon. I'm not going to let you on another case until a hot, sexy female doctor clears you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Good and Sexy over here is going to look at you.
And of course, leave you alone. Like, the doctor's like, well, I can't ethically, look, I would lose my license if I were to clear you. And then, you know, he takes out his dick.
Yeah. And then she's like, all right.
Yeah.
But she's like, are you going to call me this time? You know, like, he's done that already.
He's already.
How many injuries has he gotten away with in getting cleared from this doctor?
Yeah. So many.
Also,
MI6 is a lot like the NFL. They're just going to look the other way.
Yeah, they're going to be like,
whatever, it's the Super Bowl.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, bonds will be bonds.
Exactly.
What can I say? Oh, double O's will be double O's.
That's right.
So then he kind of does some snooping on his own. He's a little upset that he's not on this case.
Right. He finds out that so the daughter of the billionaire that got blown up, she was kidnapped,
and
the amount of money that the ransom
that they asked for was the exact amount.
Yeah, exactly, which is weird.
So he ties it together. He's like, "Oh, I think it means that it's the same guy."
Right.
He's asking for the ridiculously high, inconceivable amount of $5 million.
That's true.
You cannot even fathom that amount of money.
That's a very large
$5 million.
Yeah.
No, nobody has that amount of money. Nobody. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Only an oil tycoon would possibly have $5 million.
$5 million. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Make no mistake, audience.
Those people
$5 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I would love if someone has $5 million for me, I would take that shit immediately.
Oh, yes, yes.
That would be incredible. That would change my life. But.
But, yeah, an oil tycoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
meanwhile, we got Bezoses and fucking Musks and stuff running around with, you know, 50, 100 billion.
Yeah,
so,
with like $2 trillion. Yeah. They make $5 million every fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. It's kind of funny looking at it now. But yeah, so then he ties it together. He comes up and he's like, oh yeah, like, you know, like she should be protected. Like,
right.
She's clearly the target. And then.
And she's also clearly extremely attractive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's like, did you see how hot she is?
Yeah.
God damn.
Like, we need to protect that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a natural, precious natural resource.
Yep.
And I think we need to get, like, I don't know, environmentalist groups in on this and.
Yeah, we got to like really work hard on this one. And M is like, look, you can't be on this case unless Dr. Hot and Sexy.
Look, exactly, says something. Look, all I'm saying is I've got this infomercial ready to go. And if we could just get everybody to just one penny a day, then maybe we could save this
very
precious
hot,
resource of this incredibly hot French
oil
girl.
Oil tycoon French daughter. Yeah. Also, when... when they talk about him getting cleared, everybody is like making jokes about how he fucked the doctor.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, we all know. Like, why are you even pretending?
Exactly.
Also, they make kind of a weird deal about his fucking shoulder injury. Like, it comes up later again.
It does.
And I'm like, I've seen him take, like, a hammer to the face, man. Like, he's Bond.
Well, it is. This movie, I guess, tried to humanize him a bit.
Yeah.
So, yes, this, I think, is maybe the only action movie we've ever watched for the podcast where someone has an injury that matters in any way whatsoever.
Yeah. Dislocated fucking shoulder blade or whatever.
Well, but just in general, seen so many action movies for this podcast and in general, but where people get shot, stabbed, beaten, broken, and they're fucking 20 minutes later.
Yeah. Good to go.
Yeah. Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. And then this one, he's like, ow, my shoulder.
Yeah. This
will, like, it comes up a couple of times.
This will keep me out of this entire movie.
Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't keep him from banging. Still banging it out.
Well, you don't need your shoulder to bang. Yeah, I mean, true. You do when I the way I do it. Yeah. But
when you shoulder in like a fucking defense. Yeah.
Like defense tackle. First you got to, like, knock her down with your shoulder. Yeah. You got a shoulder tackle.
Yeah. You go defensive tackle on that.
Opens it up. Yeah. I mean, that's what girls like, is just when you shoulder their vagina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like putting on candles and some nice music, and then just that's bam, right. into the wall, and then you're like out of breath and lay down next to her, and you're like, that was fucking great.
I got off. Did you get off?
That was amazing. Yeah. You're great. So then,
never had an orgasm.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that is. They say the male G spot is a myth. So
it's in the shoulder, apparently.
Yeah. So
maybe that's his kink. It's like pain. So
yeah, that's true. He might be into that.
When Robert Carlyle like squeezes his shoulder, he's like, ah.
I mean, Bond has been in a lot of bondage situations.
Yeah.
And his name is Bond. So maybe Ian Fleming was laying some groundwork.
And he's able to keep it hard in crazy weird situations.
That's true.
He could just be out on the boat banging.
Yeah.
Underwater, banging.
Yeah.
Also, blackout drunk, banging.
Yeah.
No whiskey dick for that guy, man.
No. That guy, he's... that's why he's our hero.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen him drink like 15 drinks on the way to a chick and then bang it out.
Fine, still. Yeah.
And be charming. And in the morning,
super he's cool. Fine. Yeah.
Super cool for another action sequence. Why not?
Yeah. James Bond has never had a hangover.
No hangover, so...
Maybe he never stops drinking. But
maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Every 4 days, he just has a crazy dehydrated day where his body's starting to shut down. But, you know, he just gets Q to give him a fucking IV.
That's true. He just goes into Q and they fucking hook up an IV. And
that's all he needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then James Bond finally gets the assignment that he needs with a very hot lady.
Right.
Where he gets to go because they're building a new pipeline that the dad was setting up. There's a bunch of protesters. She's there. He's showing up to be like, somebody's trying to kill you. Oh, no. Before that, we do have to talk about the science about Robert Carlyle's superpowers in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Because it's fucking great. Robert Carlyle. It's so video gamey.
It is.
I'm telling you.
So ridiculous.
It is such a video game fucking plot point.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Carlyle is the big bad in this movie, kind of.
He's a terrorist who wants nothing but anarchy. And he's worked.
And
he's,
he got
in all the countries that are the worst terrorists. He's like Beirut, North Korea,
right?
Russia, like all these fucking countries. Yeah.
And he was captured once and executed,
right?
And was shot in the head, and it didn't work.
So here's the science to it.
So he's shot in the head. People have been survived gunshots to the head. This is completely normal.
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, not normal. Usually, if you get shot in the head, you die.
You die, but it happens.
But it does happen.
In this one, though, the bullet is still moving.
Sure.
Right? So it'll eventually kill him. But in the meantime, it has cut through the parts of his brain that create senses. The touch.
Pain, fear, all that stuff.
Smell.
Yeah.
Taste, touch.
And she says specifically... He will die eventually, but until then, he gets stronger every day.
Which, because he's like, he cannot feel pain.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, all right, that's an interesting thing to not feel pain. But then she's like, yeah, he will get stronger every day. And I'm like, why? What? Is he, again, Bane? Yeah, did he Bane exactly. up? Like, why? What would make he's him fucking
that,
stronger?
He's on that bullet juice, yeah. you know? Yeah, yeah, just yeah. getting jacked.
What fucking science? Where he just gets fucking like like gorilla strong.
You know when you're like getting ready to die. Like if you have AIDS or cancer or something, and you're getting closer and closer to death every day, you just get more and more yoked.
Yeah, yeah. Every day
you get fucking huge, son. You're just crushing doctors' faces.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we have that problem with cancer patients killing guys left and right
with their giant strong hands.
Because right before they die, they just get fucking ape strong. They get gorilla strong. they're unstoppable. Strong.
They get that AIDS strength.
Also, at this point, I knew it was Robert Carlyle, and I was like, he's in, like, the full Monty. He's a little dude.
Yeah, he's not that big.
So it's a funny... I mean, he's a great actor, and he's actually the best part of this movie. I think his performance is pretty good. I like everything about him, kind of, in this movie.
Yeah, no, he's good. I would probably say Sophia Marceau is the best part. But
she's really good. Yeah,
He's fine. He's good.
But it is a problem when the bad guys are the best part of the James Bond movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we didn't get a scene where they're together and they have like a love scene.
Very weird scene.
A weird scene where they talk about being like about their feelings for each other. And I was like, that's a weird thing in a James Bond movie.
Yeah,
like we never get to see what the fucking bad guys are doing on their off time. Like,
that's true.
yeah.
Because it's not them evil planning really, and it's. Other than that, that's...
Other than them being more evil.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see, like, oh, this bad guy, we're seeing him do some more evil shit.
Right.
Like, oh, now he's kidnapping a kid or something like that, you know? No, yeah. In this one, they're, like, going over their feelings and motivations and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, weird. Interesting. Yeah.
True.
But this may be them knowing that those are the best characters.
Could be, yeah. I mean, Pierce Brosnan is still very good.
He's still a good Bond.
Yeah, he's still very good as Bond. Not, I mean, and this is just the side effect of the movie not being as good.
Right.
But not as good of a Bond as he was last time around.
Right. Or in GoldenEye.
Yeah.
So it's a weird turn for the movie to make.
I do remember feeling this a bit about Die Another Day, which was that he was starting to get a little old.
And right.
Like, this movie definitely is the, like, he's starting to get a little old.
There's some legitimate to me. There were some real Roger Moore parts in it.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, yeah, his movement was a little bit awkward. Or you know what I mean? Like,
well, and the skiing stuff, too. And it says, you know, if you look it up online, Pierce Brosnan does not know how to ski.
Yeah, so it's clearly
a stunt dive, which is fine. Like, that part's fine. But when they cut to the Pierce Brosnan stuff and he's just, like, moving his shoulders.
Yeah.
And
he looks like an older guy moving his shoulders. Yeah.
All right. He's not skiing, but all right.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's all right. But it does have that Roger Moore feel to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, he's just doing, like, the charming parts.
Yeah.
Like, we're just here for the charming parts of Pierce Brosnan. And everything else is just kind of, like, action shit.
It did also make me want to, like, double down on... Because, obviously, with Daniel Craig being done and stuff, there's been a lot of talk of like, who's the next Bond.
Right.
I do think they need to go... not young, per se, but... You can't be casting like a 49-year-old or whatever.
That's,
you know
what we can't do Idris Elba as much as we all wanted Idris Elba. The man is like 52.
Yeah, it's just he's got to be like 30.
Yeah, you got to go down. You got to at least go like mid-30s.
Yeah. Especially if you want this dude to do like four movies, because again, once you get to like movie three.
I think Pierce Brosnan in this one was like 46.
Yes, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, and we talked about it a little bit in the Tomorrow Never Dies one, but they wanted Pierce Brosnan back in like the early 80s.
When he was like a young guy.
Yeah, when he was a young guy.
Yeah.
And like that I think would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, though, because he's a great.
Because he's a really good Bond.
Yeah.
And especially if you would have got him in the 80s when he was like super young and super handsome and stuff, and then had him be able to be Bond for like five or six movies.
Right.
I think it would be great.
And I think one of the things that works about Daniel Craig is that we're all very much into older dudes kicking ass right now. And also, the man is cut out of fucking marble.
Like, he is.
He's in great fucking shape.
Sure.
But you're right. we can't. You got to do 10 years worth of James Bond.
Right. So
you got to start 35.
You got to start at the latest.
At the latest, 35. Yeah. So that by the time you're getting to 45, you're like, all right, it's time for another one.
Yeah.
Let's go back into the plot. So James Bond, we've learned that Robert Kylo gets superhuman strength.
Yeah, he's superhuman strength from his bullet in the brain.
Yeah, from the bullet in the brain.
Yeah.
He goes over to protect, what's her name?
Right. So they go on a...
From Braveheart.
Yeah. So Sophia Marceau from Braveheart. Yeah. They have to go check out the pipeline or whatever.
Well,
so
she's like, I need to survey the pipeline, pipeline, which just means I need to do some cool skiing.
Yeah, I need to do some cool skiing.
Then stop and look at a thing and be like, yep, that's where the pipeline is going.
Yep.
Anyway, can the helicopter pick me up again?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because I don't know a lot about surveying, but from what I've seen at construction sites, they have stuff.
Yeah.
They have that little telescope thing. That thing they set up on a tripod with She doesn't have any of that.
She didn't show up with any of that. No.
No.
She's just like skiing down. Also, we get when he shows up, he's just like arriving, and then he sees these helicopters with a giant chainsaw hanging off of them that they used to cut trees down. And then I was like, well, that's never going to come into play again in this movie, right?
Just a cool detail.
Yeah, that was a cool thing that happened.
Cool detail. Helicopters, chainsaws.
Helicopter chainsaws. Why would that be a part of the movie? Yeah. It'd be a cool video game, but sure. You know, not in the movie. But then they get attacked by these flying bobsleds, kind of?
Basically, right? Yeah. They're almost like the fucking boats on the swamps.
Yeah, they're like snow skis or whatever, and like but with a fan on the back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a ski mobile with a fan instead of an engine.
Because that's how it flies.
Right, exactly. Because they have these giant parachute hang glider things that they're attached to. How much cooler would it have been if it was Burt fucking Reynolds from Gator or White Lightning, which is the same character.
Yeah, one of the many
any Burt Reynolds movie, really. But if he was just on a big fucking Louisiana swamp boat, but also, you know, flying, and he came to kill James Bond.
Yeah, or the guy from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome that rides specifically one of these, only with wheels instead of...
Yeah, you're right.
What was his name? Flyboy or something like that?
That might be right, yeah.
Jedediah.
Really? That was the name?
That was his name, yeah. He flew the flying jalopy.
God. Those movies are so good.
Yeah. But it was the same thing. It was like a big fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but he was on wheels. He was on three wheels instead of the ski things. Yeah. So what if James Bond...
Or, remember that scene in Rumble of the Bronx where Jackie Chan has to fight one of those big hovercraft things?
Oh, yeah.
What if just that?
Just,
what if we just watch Rumble in the Bronx?
Yeah, what if it just cuts to Rumble in the Bronx halfway through?
We just watched that last scene from Rumble in the Bronx.
And then we're like, that movie was fucking awesome. Anyway, back to James Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we get a very video gamey fucking experience in this skiing action sequence.
Yeah, this is definitely the snow level.
Yeah, it's the snow level. Yeah. They're chasing after him. He does a cool thing where he flies over, cuts the chute of one of them with his fucking ski, which makes it lose complete control.
Right. And crash into another one.
That
could not see it at all, evidently.
No, none of it makes any sense. Yeah. But it stops him. Like,
I think that's why ultimately this movie wasn't as much fun for me, is that the action sequences, while they are cool,
yes,
they're not
great.
They're not great, and they don't, like, they're not edited super well. There's, like, little missing bits that they, like, either because the stunt was too dangerous or they couldn't quite get it right. There's little pieces of connective tissue that aren't there.
Yeah, or it's just, like, weirdly, there's a part later on where they're in the pod and they're flying through the pipeline.
Yeah.
And there's zero danger in that fucking...
Yeah, like, it's weird.
Like, it's supposed to be they're going super fast, so that it's windy. But I'm like, I get no feeling of, like, they're traveling really fast and they're about to crash into... There's none of that. It's just like, oh, we're on this thing now. Now, what are we going to do? And then we're going to jump off of it, and it's perfectly safe to jump off of it? Like, it's... The action is not very well directed.
Yeah. Well, and that scene too specifically is like a green screen scene.
Yeah.
And feels like two people just like kind of sitting there being like, oh, it's...
Yeah, being like, we're going so fast right now. And that might have been... The green screen thing might have been a part of the problem.
Might have been a part of the problem. Yeah. But I think, you know, as much as I've liked some of this director's other stuff, action maybe not his forte.
Yeah. Because none of the action sequences was I that attached to or yeah. very impressed with at all.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, and they evidently they did ask the director of Tomorrow Never Dies to come back. And he was like, nah, that shit sucked.
Yeah.
It was really hard. We didn't have a script.
I had to deal with all you fucking studio yeah. people and all that shit.
I had everything I did came with 20 notes.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it again.
And then by this one, they were probably like, listen, we got to add a lot more video game shit. Because one of the writers was the writer for fucking GoldenEye, and he's thinking and about
that
video
movie,
games.
That movie made us $100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to do like way more video game shit. He was probably like, nope, I'm not about it. I'm not doing that. Fuck that. And rightly so. And, you know, it comes across, man. Like, yeah, it really. Yeah. yeah. So then we get that snow, the snow level happens and it's right. over.
And then immediately they're fucking.
Yeah. Then we cut to them fucking. I think we get Robert. Oh, no. We get his, her employee is cutting a deal with Robert Kylo. That's when he comes out of
that. That's when you find out that there's a mole in their ranks.
Yeah. Also, you see Robert Kylo do some cool. I can take fire shit, and they're in this, like,
yeah, they're in a
natural
place,
fire
supposedly,
thing.
Their fire burns forever, which...
Yeah, doesn't sound real.
Doesn't sound right.
No, yeah. It doesn't even look real. It looks like a Universal Studios ride
exactly,
again.
Yeah. It does. It looks like they hooked up gas lines and have, like...
It looks
yeah,
bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they shoot the Russian guy, and then he's like, take his ID, and then you pretend to be him.
Right.
And then James Bond, after fucking... what's her name?
Sophia Marceau.
After
Elektra...
Electro. It's a cool name.
Yeah, I want to say Nachos as the Daredevil villain.
Electric King.
Kane, yeah.
King.
Yeah. King?
Yeah.
King? Kane?
Electric King, after banging her, he's like, wanders off to do some sleuthing.
I think the thing that's throwing me off is you're saying Electra King, but you're saying it so quick together that it sounds like a super villain.
Like Electric King?
Electric King.
Yeah, that does kind of sound like
yeah.
it. Maybe they're on purpose because it's like, that's a video game super villain.
That's true. Yeah. You got to fight the Electric King.
God damn it. It's all video games in this fucking movie. James Bond does a funny thing where he kind of does some sleuthing. He sees that guy show up who just killed the Russian guy to take his identity.
Right.
And then he kills that guy to take his identity.
Yeah.
Without asking him any questions.
No information gathered.
No. He just like surprises him. First of all, he pulls a body out of his car. Dumps it in the woods, I'm assuming.
I assume.
And then pretends to be the body. And then right. when that guy opens it, instead of being like, all right, let's find out what you know. Why are you betraying? Like, what's... No, he just shoots him square
Which
in the
Which
is
heart. What I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was expecting a like, aha, I have the upper hand now. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, because clearly there's a mole. We know that there's a mole in the corporation that killed
right.
King. But no, he's just like immediately shoots him. And then the guy shows up and he's like, hey, are you the guy? And he's like, yeah, clearly. And they're like, all right. Well, you
cool.
you
no
talk the talk.
Yeah.
Well, you talk the talk. Come with me.
Yep.
Make sure you bring your ID that you need for yep. some fucking reason. And then he just like gets on this fucking plane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He brought the sneakers that they wanted, which is, I guess, a bit.
It's a bit about how, you know, the Russians, they really wanted American stuff.
Yeah.
Really. Although by 99, I don't know how accurate that was anymore.
Yeah. And they're banking a lot on this fucking ID.
Yes.
That he has.
Well, because as long as he has the ID saying he's the nuclear scientist, physicist, then clearly he is.
So,
and everyone else believes it. The only the only person with the brains enough to question that this person might not be on the up and up
is the smartest character.
Is the smartest character in the movie, one Christmas Jones.
Yeah. Played by Denise Richards.
The smartest of actresses.
Yep. So he shows up in a very funny scene where people are like, oh my God, it's you. I've been following your career the whole time. You are 20 years younger and 3 feet taller and 100 pounds lighter than I expected you to be.
But I do love that.
The ID checks out.
Yeah. Be like rolling up to fucking... I don't know, Martin Scorsese and being like, holy shit, I love all of your movies. I didn't realize you were a 7 foot tall black man, but I guess, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love your movies.
But you're wearing an ID
that says Martin
Scorsese.
So,
hey, come on in, brother.
Yeah, come on in.
You
got
do whatever
you
want.
Yeah, it is very funny.
Yeah.
And then that's when we get like, oh, here comes the nuclear scientist that we're all banking on. One, you know, 28-year-old Denise Richards.
Yep.
She's dressed like the Tomb Raider, so I'm inclined to... She is 100%
dressed like Lara Croft the Tomb Raider.
I'm inclined to believe that she's a scientist.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, this is another thing where we were like, video game.
And it was also a thing that I was like...
For kids drinking Mondu and jerking off to...
Like, how hard... Well, yeah.
Wild
yeah.
things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But how hard do you think she campaigned for the Tomb Raider role against Angelina Jolie in 2000?
Yeah, because she could have easily...
That would have been a tight race.
Yeah, she looks just like the fucking Tomb Raider. She
looks just like... The outfit obviously carries a lot of the weight. But yeah, when she shows up in that, I was like, that's fucking Lara Croft right there. Yeah.
Also... Though the acting is really bad.
Real bad, yeah.
Oh, my God. So maybe she was, like, in the running, and then they were like, no, I saw that fucking James Bond movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You're awful.
You're real bad.
Oh, my God. She's... And, you know, like, again, when I saw it as a teenager, I remember being this being a pretty fun movie. And now watching it, I'm like, yeah, she's fucking awful. But she does show up in a white tank top underwater later.
Yeah, which nice.
So it was nice. Big breasts and hard nipples and all that. Yeah, so teenage me was all about that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, she's supposed the worst. She was, I think she won the Razzie for it. I mean, the Razzies are bullshit.
Yeah.
But still.
Although, I mean, does a wet t-shirt, how much does that really do after you've seen Wild Things?
Exactly. Yeah. No, we've already seen her make out with Neve Campbell and have a
like topless and three-way with Matt Dillon.
Yeah, exactly. So we've already seen what we need to see from her.
That's true. We've already gotten everything we need from you, Denise Richards. We got everything we needed from you in 1998, all right? Yeah, you're done. Yeah, yeah, we're done with you.
Yeah, keep doing that or, you know, just, yeah, we're not going to buy your scientist thing.
No.
Yeah, there's...
It wasn't even that. Like, if... Because, yeah, she's young and she's hot or whatever. Young hot people can be scientists.
For sure.
But, first of all, the lines give her, the script that they give her does her no favors.
No, not at all.
And then her delivery is just,
And it kept getting worse.
I'm looking at a wooden table right now, and I'm not saying that her delivery was a wooden table, but I'm saying a wooden table would have given a better performance.
Yeah. Oh, and it kept getting worse.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right.
When they get out of the pipe after it explodes, like her lines, oh my God, it's rough.
Yeah, yeah, everything. Yeah. And it's hard to see Pierce Brosnan kind of like try to act across from it.
Yeah. And there's also really no reason for her to be in the movie.
No, not at all.
Like you mentioned it, but when the gunfire starts and Pierce Brosnan is just like, come with me and grabs her and like takes her to safety. It's clearly just there's 20 innocent people there, but only one of them is a hot chick.
Yeah, one of them is Richards. Yeah. So he saves that one.
Yeah.
She is at the exact same level that all the other dudes are he like beats up really quick for their gun.
Right.
At the exact same level. In fact, she shows up and she's the one that kind of puts a finger on him.
That's true.
And she's like, he's not the scientist. The scientist is supposed to be 65 years old.
Yeah.
So she kind of like betray him, fucks him over
a little bit,
but he's like, no, you, I'm saving you out of everybody.
Yeah.
There is no reason. I mean, she never brings.
There's a reason.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Obviously. Again, video game market.
Sure.
She never brings it. Like her smarts in the movie never play out.
Kind of a little bit, but yeah,
they don't play out.
It's not really
the information that she has. James Bond could have that just from doing a little bit of research on bombs.
That's right. She also has like a weird throwaway line where she's like, well, we better get that nuke back or people will be like have words for me. Like what?
Yeah.
What people? Yeah. Your boss has just got shot in the face by a terrorist. What the hell are you talking about?
What are you doing? Yeah. And even when she does we're skipping ahead, but that's not a bad thing at this point. But like, even when she does sciencey stuff, where she's like locked in that big chamber, and she's like, "I'm gonna pull wires out and tie them to a generator and shit." It looks like such a fucking like made up bullshit.
Yeah,
that somebody's just like old school, kind of like the thing that was charming in the 50s, where you're just like, "Oh, pressing all these buttons works,"
sure.
Or like. Pulling cables out and attaching them to other cables, that's all we need.
Well, and again, I think if in a more charismatic performance,
yes,
you would be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that was cool. Yeah. But in this one, it was just like unnecessary, completely unnecessary. All the everything with her, James Bond could have done by himself.
Yeah, but then, you know,
But then no, tank top
he's,
underwater.
He's trying to go for, you know, 3-in-1 movie.
Also, because, and spoiler alert, because it turns out that Meursault is the bad guy in it.
Right.
We need to have some sort of chick for him to protect.
That's right.
So we have to go with this fucking paper cutout of Denise Richards.
If they had gone really hard with, like, if they had really invested in the Bond, Electra relationship.
Yes.
And then even after she turns evil, he's still trying to reach her.
Yeah.
Might have been interesting.
Better movie.
Yeah.
And then if he still has to kill her like he kills her in this one.
Right.
It would have been a bigger deal. But instead, even when he kills her, not that big a deal to me.
No.
Yeah. I was never like, oh yeah. Like I was just kind of like, ah, he did it.
Yep.
But like,
it was like, finally, this guy's had like 18 opportunities to kill the bad guys and he hasn't. Yeah, like, yeah, well, specifically when it comes to her and
Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle. Yeah. Where he has a gun to his head and does not kill him for like 20 minutes until shit happens. Yeah. Because he's Batman.
Yeah, because he's Batman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we also jumped ahead of Hagrid, who's in this.
That's true, Hagrid.
Our boy Hagrid. Our boy Hagrid from the Harry Potter movies. He shows up. He's a caviar making, casino owning.
Russian.
He used to be a bad guy, but now he's like trying to be a legitimate business guy, but still schemey and like. Still,
yeah,
like,
I mean, he's a scummy business.
He's
guy,
a scummy
but,
guy. Yeah,
but yeah, he's no longer, I guess, shooting people.
Right.
Yeah.
They have a scene where...
Until later when he shoots some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where... Also, I want to talk about that scene, but Meursault goes up to his table and he's like, all right, let's do a bet. Like, you tell me some information, I'm going to bet $1 million on this. And it was, again, one of those things where I was like, oh, yeah, $1 million is the most amount of money that a person could fathom existing.
That's true.
Like, having.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you hear about that shit all the fucking time.
Yeah.
$1 million on a fucking poker
at a casino?
Table?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
But she loses. He eats some caviar. I wonder if that's a real caviar that they're plugging. Maybe that's one of the...
You think the tie-in?
Yeah, that one of the tie-ins. Also, caviar at 99. Fucking top, like, king of the crop right there. Like,
I guess so. Have you had caviar?
I've had caviar before. You can get it kind of like anywhere now.
I mean, you
can go to World Market and get it.
That's
for
true.
Fucking
yeah,
six
yeah.
bucks. But back then, if I remember
back
the 90s,
then it did seem like so
unattainable. Yeah,
yeah.
Like only rich people can afford.
But
fish
also,
eggs.
I mean, we talked about sushi, and I don't know so much that sushi was unattainable, so much that it seemed so exotic,
like so decadent,
and so decadent. Yeah,
yeah. And now it's like $25 all you can eat anywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Every town has five of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And this had that where it was like, oh, caviar is such a fucking rich person thing to do. Going back, Hagrid's death is fucking ridiculous. All right, so James Bond, he bangs Meursault.
Right.
Then he's got Robert Carlyle dead to rights.
Right.
And he could kill him. Robert Carlyle is like, I don't care. I'm going to die anyway. Kill me. And then he tells him a line that Meursault told him. He tells him like that. I don't know what fucking line was. That he tells
it's something
him.
About like a life without living isn't worth living or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
or
that.
Like
yeah.
what's the point of living if you're not going to live life or
yeah,
some
yeah,
stupid
yeah.
shit like that? And then he's like, what? And then Robert Carlyle gives him a line when they finally turn the tables on him. And he's like, well, you don't want to bear the whole brunt of it on your shoulder. And then attacks his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which is also very funny because James Bond's like, ah!
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Daniel Craig took like some shots to the balls
That's
with a
true.
Fucking giant rope.
But it is, and it's a fun, like, because Bond's usually the pun guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is fun. It's fun.
But then that's when he puts it together. Then Meursault and him have some sort of relationship because they are saying the same lines. There's no way that Carlyle could know about his shoulder unless Meursault told him about it.
Right.
So then he puts it together that she's kind of like the bad guy.
I mean, there are a lot of ways you could know, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when he puts it together. He confronts her. She's like, no, that's not, you know, me or whatever. Like, what are you fucking, no, it's fine. Like, look, it's my pipeline and everything. And this is when it happens that we see that he has stolen the bomb. He puts it in the pipeline.
Right.
If he sets it off in the middle of the oil refinery thing, it's going to create a giant explosion that's going to, like, to kill millions of people or something. Like
something,
that.
Yeah.
So then Bond,
so then
is, it's
Bond
like, put
has
me in
to
the
go,
thing.
Yeah. Put me in the tunnel.
Preferably with the Brainiac over
yep,
here.
Yep.
with Dr. Nerdlinger.
Denise it would have been funny if he was just bullying her the whole time. Yeah, yeah. It was like this good pocket protector motherfucker over here.
This nerd over here. Like, I'm going to have to go in here with fucking glasses over here.
Yeah. Like an acne face. Yeah. Like, I don't know, my face is super perfect.
Super hot, Denise Richards. So, yeah, they're like, we got to go. We can undo the bomb. This is the scene where they're in the thing. No danger in it whatsoever.
No.
They're just in front of a fan. And then that's when she's like, oh, look, it's not even that much plutonium. It's only like half of the plutonium. It's enough to kill us, but not enough to cause the big explosion.
I guess.
And then he's like, oh, let's let it explode. Bail out. And she's like, no, I can stop it. And like, bail. I don't know. They fucking jump out.
They take the plutonium, though.
Yeah, they take the plutonium. The explosion happens. It's weird. And then also, then that's when they kidnap M. So this is when everybody now knows.
This is when everyone, like, she openly turns so the audience knows.
Yeah.
They also do this weird thing because they're going super fast down this tunnel.
Right.
And he's just like, just stop. Just like jump, roll.
70 miles an hour.
Just roll.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's
no danger.
Perfectly fine. She's in a fucking tank top and it's.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even a scratch. Yeah. Hair is perfect.
Anyways,
you know, but these scientist types
are so tough.
Yeah, yeah, they're known for just being beautiful and jumping out of 70 mile per hour pods.
I did like this. I was looking over the trivia on this movie, and supposedly during one of the days of filming in which Pierce Brosnan is doing a stunt where like an explosion happens behind him. It's while they're escaping from that first when they first steal the nuke.
Yeah.
And he's like on the wires and there's shit blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
And Sean Connery saw all this going on and saw Pierce Brosnan hanging from these wires as they set up explosions behind him. And his response was, are they paying you enough money?
Nice.
Like, this is insane. I did like that. I did also want to talk about, while we're in the trivia section here, I wanted to talk about some casting maybes. Because. There was a
I'm hoping that there was hotter and dumber scientists running up. Like Anna Nicole Smith.
Ooh.
Like Anna Nicole Smith was maybe going to be. Pamela Anderson.
Pamela. Oh.
Pamela Anderson was going to be the scientist at one point.
I feel like I shouldn't even read these now because
the list set the bar too high. The,
is far too high. Far, 14, far too high.
14 Playboy bunnies were going to play the scientists.
It's like the Olsen twins when they were like three. They just keep switching them out. They just keep
switching them out. Yeah. And we're just like, oh, yeah, that's that hot chick, right?
It doesn't matter.
That's a hot chick. Blonde. We all saw the blonde.
Giant fake tits.
Yeah. I think that's the same one. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's fine. So supposedly the role of Elektra King, the Sophia Marceau role, a studio wanted Sharon Stone.
Wow.
Also considered Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I can see that, yeah.
Monica Bellucci.
That, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That she's very much a Monica Bellucci
type. Very much a Monica Bellucci type.
Yeah.
And they did a movie together. We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Hurley
for sure.
Was a deal in the late 90s.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mila Jovovich, too, which I don't think would have worked, but.
Yeah, maybe.
And then for the role of Christmas Jones, it came down to the Denise Richards character. It came down to her and two others, Natasha Henstridge. That was Species, right?
Yeah.
And then Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, so they were going
hard, like not smart. Full on smart.
Teenagers jerking off.
Yeah, teenagers jerking off to not smart bimbos.
They almost like they were like, what are kids doing nowadays? And people, and then.
Well, I don't know about you, but my 14-year-old, all he does is jerk off. He just loves jerking off.
Play GoldenEye and jerk off all fucking day.
All day.
Well, to who? Well, you know, the chick from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
The chick from that Species movie that's all sexy.
Yeah.
Like, those chicks.
The chick from Wild Things.
Like, that's all she does.
Remember Starship Troopers?
Yeah. They went hard on that. Yeah, they might as well have cast a fucking can of Mountain Dew for that because it seems such pandering.
Now I really want to see this movie, but with a can of Mountain Dew as Denise Richards' character.
Yeah, yeah. Just put glasses on that can and scientist.
A scientist.
Yeah.
And just every time, James is just like, oh, you're so refreshing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then he has to like sacrifice everything to save that big that can of Mountain Dew.
Big can of Mountain Dew. Would it just be a big can? Would you go a full vending machine?
Oh yeah, no, I think it would just be like a can with arms and legs.
A big arms can with legs. Arms and legs, are you saying like put a person in a can outfit? Okay.
Yeah, like like you would a mascot, like a team mascot or something.
So this is the NBA Mountain Dews.
Yes.
And their mascot. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just James Bond falling in love with that can of Mountain Dew.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah, and again, you would have had the same effect of teenage boys being like, that movie was the shit.
Yep. Hey, look, Mountain Dew is refreshing. It's delicious. Yeah. It's nutritious.
All I do is pick Gold Nine. Our sponsor
for tonight, Mountain Dew. Thank you so much.
Yep.
For giving us the caffeine we need.
The sexiest of all the
It drinks. Also does crack me up so much to think that Mountain Dew, that we have known our whole lives as the extreme sport soda,
yeah,
started out as the hillbilly soda.
Yeah. Because, you know, the mountain.
The mountains. It's the dew from the mountains.
Yeah. Nope. Now it's all video games.
Now it's all fucking Destiny and, I don't know, Fortnite. What are kids playing now? Roblox?
Yeah, that's it. Roblox. That's the one.
I don't know.
But it's kind of the same. It's so pandering to a fucking teenage audience, this fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, so then Pierce Brosnan has to save Denise Richards a couple times. He saves her with the pod. Then he's like, oh, they think we're dead.
Right.
So, you know, we got the upper hand on them. They have M, who happens to have the transmitter for the bomb that they took out of the bomb. And that actually plays out pretty well. They give her the transmitter, which then M is like, oh, if I can get a battery from this clock, I can turn it on and they can track me, which is exactly what happens. But then they go back to her good friend Hagrid.
Right.
Because they're like, something's there, right?
But yet again, there's a boss level. Mist. Yeah.
Well, there's a boss level with Hagrid where the fucking helicopter chainsaws show up.
Oh, right. Helicopter chainsaws. I mean, that's a good level because you got to like roll around a bunch and grab like the hidden bazookas.
Yeah.
To like blow the helicopters up.
And because they're like big chainsaw things, you can take damage from them without dying.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
And then also there's like three of them, so you have to like blow them up one by one. It's a pretty good level.
Yeah, it's a good level. That's a fun level.
It's a solid video game level.
That's a very fun level.
Yeah. And that's what James Bond does.
He
does that. But it is cool. I mean, it's still a cool idea. Like, it cuts through the building. Mm-hmm. There's a part where they blow it up and all the blades go flying at Hagrid, and I was really hoping they would cut him into pieces.
Somebody. Yeah, somebody needed to get cut by those blades.
We were really hoping for a running away, then quick stop, and then split in half.
Split in half. That's a you can't go wrong with that. Which
is fucking classic. It's great.
It's so good every time.
Instead, he's drowning Hagrid in his own caviar.
Which just looked like black tar. Tar?
Yeah, it looked weird.
Is that what caviar looks like?
I don't know, but it makes me kind of not want caviar anymore.
Yeah, it looked gross.
It looked very gross.
It did not look appetizing.
And then you find out that, you know, his nephew was giving them fucking parts?
Because the nephew is a Soviet submarine captain.
Yeah.
So then we cut to fucking Carlisle.
Yeah.
Like being like, oh, hey, submarine captain. Thanks for doing this job. And hey, would you like some totally not poisoned food and drink?
And refreshments?
It's totally not poisoned. It's fine. You should just go to Pound Town on this food and drink.
And the guy's like, well, you've betrayed everybody before me, but we have a gentleman's agreement
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I feel like we have a good connection. I know you've killed and betrayed every ally you've ever had.
You guys have no will to live. You're going to die.
You're suicidal.
Yeah.
But you're stronger by the minute. I feel good about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Lo and behold, they all die of poisoning from somewhere.
Probably unrelated.
Unrelated, probably. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you never know in the submarines. It goes around fast.
That was probably some of that fucking submarine tang they had just hanging around for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Shouldn't have been drinking it.
Nope.
They then finally go back. They find out where M is at.
Right.
They show up. But before that, there's another explosion.
Right. This is the mole.
Yeah. It's the
guy with the grill.
Goldie or whatever. Yeah. Bouillon.
Yeah,
Bouillon's, which is Hagrid's like bodyguard.
That's right.
Betrays him with the bomb, It's also a funny thing when he's like, hey, Booyah, where are you going? And it's just a shot of him scurrying away. It was a very funny shot of him running out.
That was pretty funny.
And then he's like, bomb, and then it explodes. And then we think that Hagrid is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Bond gets captured. He gets taken to Meursault.
He gets a little S&M torture.
Gets a little S&M. He gets put in this chair that'll break his neck if they spin the wheel enough. It's got this rod that goes into his back.
Yeah.
She also does some very cool, sexy shit to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she like, gets on his lap and, like, starts telling about how, like, no man can resist her. Right. She starts James Bonding him. She's like, yeah, I can get whatever I want. No man will say no to me. Look at you. You didn't say no to me. You could have killed me when you had the chance. Like, all this stuff. Then, you know, right when... I don't know if they're about to fuck or she's about to kill him. Because they maybe could go both. Either way. Yeah, maybe... Probably both. Probably both. Or maybe she's going to fuck him and then turn the wheel and kill him.
In the mid-coitus.
As he comes to...
Yeah.
A conclusion, that's shall true. We say.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he's at full release.
There's a bit... I've been reading a fantasy series... by Steven Erikson, and there's a bit where there's a whole culture that does that, where they kill the men as they're riding them so that the pregnancy is from the seed of a dead man, creating a cursed child that can be a part of this, like, cursed army of the damned.
Oh, it's one of those, like Macbeth things.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit Macbethy. What was it? The three fates?
Yeah, no man born of woman could kill Macbeth. Yeah. All right. That's interesting enough.
A little creepy. A little weird.
She almost did that, I feel.
I think she was into it.
She was into it.
I think if she had the choice to fuck a dead guy...
Yeah, I think she would have fucked him and then turned that wheel and finished killing him, which is pretty baller.
Pretty cool way to die.
But luckily for Bond, Hagrid shows up.
That's right.
She shoots him a couple of times, and then with his final shot, he shoots her dead so that... No, I'm just kidding. He has a gun pointed at her.
At her face.
And instead of killing her, who just shot him, he shoots Bond's cuff.
Right.
Like, killing her also...
Would have not
killed Bond.
That's right,
yeah. Would have also had Bond escape. Like, what is his fucking reasoning for this?
Well, maybe he's thinking if he kills her,
No, he already killed like four guys on the way up to this. They're shooting all
the
guys.
Were any of them hot chicks, though?
Nope, not.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand his fucking reasoning for this. But he just shoots the cuff, which could have also just shot James Bond in the hand.
Yeah, true.
Because he's dying.
Yeah.
There's no way his vision is clear.
Very steady. Very steady hand. Very excellent
shot. He's shooting out of a cane gun,
which is notorious
for
its accuracy.
For its inaccuracy. Instead of shooting her, he shoots. All right. But James Bond breaks free, and then she runs away, and then she's like, you can't kill me. I'm too sexy. I'm too hot. And then he's like,
I'm too sexy for this bullet. Too sexy for your knife.
And he's like, I get hot bitches all the time. And he shoots her square in the chest.
I'm James Bond, motherfucker.
Yeah. And this comes... This is a thing that I was talking about. That they always like to pretend like James Bond is in love with his chicks. With all these chicks. But he's not in love with any of them. Like, clearly...
Probably not, right? Maybe a little... There's a few that maybe they've sold me on.
There's a couple that have been... And there's some work. And I think the last Daniel Craig one did some real work in... making his connection to her matter.
I think the Daniel Craig ones did in general, because the stuff in the first two with Vesper, right?
Yeah. And even when it's like collateral damage, he feels bad about it.
Right.
But in this one, she's like, you won't do it because of love. And then he shoots her, and then M is like, I'm so sorry. Like, she gives him that look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are fucking talking about. Yeah. Like, he shot this lady that he banged one time.
That's true.
Betrayed him immediately after. And then also, one of his things with Robert Carlyle, that he gets so mad that he almost kills Robert Carlyle, is because Robert Carlyle's like, you got my sloppy seconds.
Yep.
So he's being weirdly macho about this shit. You know what I mean? So I think by that point.
In fairness, what he says is, you should have had her when she was innocent. Which I think Bond is more mad about the fact that the implication that he raped this girl than he's having sloppy seconds.
I guess that's right. Yeah. You may be right about that.
Maybe.
But once he knows that she betrayed him, all that shit goes out the window.
Yeah.
So I feel like by that point, he doesn't care about her anyway. You know what I mean?
No. So he hasn't cared about her since he saw Denise Richards in the fucking Laura Croft outfit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is that
then he's like, oh, I got another chick. Now, what the fuck do I care about you, bitch? I mean,
but, you know, which one, though?
Yeah. Oh, no. Denise Richards, I think. I would.
No way. Sophia Marceau.
You go Sophia Marceau?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Did you see her underwater in that fucking tank top?
I mean, I get it. I get it. Yeah, body, I mean, wise?
I'm not asking Denise Richards to act for me.
Yeah, look, performance. Otherwise, you're going to know how disappointing you are in the
that's
bedroom.
True. Yeah. A performance would be nice. But just a Wild Things level performance. I don't need a, you know, a Marceau Braveheart performance. But, you know, Bond is like, I got another chick. I don't care.
Yeah.
So then he jumps into the submarine. Then we get the submarine fight where none of it, again, no real stakes. None of it seems too dangerous.
I mean, the stakes are that they're going to blow up Istanbul.
Yeah, there used 8 to be million people, right? Yeah. And we go back to the... Oh, yeah, it used to be Constantinople. There's a whole finally song. Got that? Yeah, there's a whole song about that.
Delayed reaction to my dumb reference joke.
I think even old New York was like once New Hampshire.
Yeah,
or something.
That's right.
Yeah. New Hampshire town or something like that. Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. You're right. They're supposed to kill 8 million people with this nuclear. Yeah, yeah. And
but
actually...
The scene itself, again, the action's just not that compelling. They're just... He's sticking a thing in. Bond's punching him. He's punching Bond.
Yeah, we also get a very funny scene where Robert... 5'8" Robert Kylo beats the hell out of Bond.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be like, oh, it's because that bullet
makes him
gorilla
strong.
Yeah. But he's still a tiny dude.
Yeah, that's true.
He's still a little guy. And James Bond's like, ow. And he gets saved by Denise Richards, who's useless, except she has to hit a button.
Yep.
With her multiple degrees in nuclear science, she manages to hit that fucking button.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then immediately needs to be saved by Bond.
Yeah. Anyways, they kill the guy. They leave.
Yeah. And I also like a really cop-out way. It's not clever.
Yeah.
James Bond is just like, oh, this button shoots that thing back out. And he presses it.
Yep.
And then it shoots it back at him and
he
kills
presses
him.
The kill the villain and end the movie button.
But oh my god, yes. It makes why would you have that button? Because
you want to end the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
you don't want the movie to go on forever. You gotta have the end the movie button.
And we get this shot of Robert Kylo looking at him like, well, this is the end of my, like he's trying to do like a all, you know, like washed away, like tears
yeah.
in the ring.
Oh, yeah,
thing
yeah, yeah, for sure.
From fucking Blade Runner, but it's just more like they could have made that thing sharper. That was my reaction to that.
Very blunt.
Yeah. That was a very blunt that thing that killed him. And my reaction was like, they should have made that thing sharper and it should have cut straight through him.
Yeah.
Like that would have been cooler because it matters not. Like none of this matters.
So they save everybody and then they bang.
Oh, yeah, we get to see John Cleese gets to show us infrared footage
weird
of their fucking
CGI infrared fucking footage.
Yeah. Where it's just old British people watching them fuck. It's weird.
Look, if in 1999 they would have been like, hey, do you want to watch some infrared of people fucking? I obviously yes.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course. Obviously, and they're like, it's Denise Richards. And I'm like, oh my god, you just do it already.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But it's a weird way to like end the movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they throw one last, you know, Christmas only comes once thing. With the,
We get some orgasm jokes. Dirty joke. Yeah, in there. And then, you know, that's it.
That is it.
It was disappointing.
Yeah.
I remember
so,
this movie being better.
It is disappointing.
But
which means we's got to fix it.
Yeah, we got to fix this movie. Other than the big Mondu can for Denise Richards.
Oh, God, it's so good,
which
though.
Gets the same point across.
Yep.
Does exactly what the executives wanted.
I mean, this movie did love product placement. What if we replace all the characters with the mascots of popular products?
Yes, if they can still all be like the logos with arms and legs taken out of them, that'd be fucking awesome.
Okay, so you don't want Mr. Clean. You just want like a logo, like the A&W logo.
Or
the M. You want the McDonald's M with legs
with
arms
and legs.
Not
or,
Ronald. You don't want Ronald.
A Mr. Clean bottle of dishwashing liquid with arms and legs.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Or, you know, like a...
There's no Tony the Tiger, box of cereal.
A box of Kellogg's.
Okay.
With arms and legs.
Gotcha.
Like, that would be...
Not bad.
That's a liberal product placement that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's still James... Pierce Brosnan's still playing it straight. Obviously,
as he's surrounded by this. So it's basically Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with James Bond
with product placement.
Product placement.
M can now be the green M&M.
Because, sure. You know, M. Sure, yeah. Why not?
I don't know. Q is now...
Q-tips? I don't know.
Yeah, there we go.
He's a brand of Q-tips.
Yeah.
Moneypenny is just is like one of those...
It's an ad for the penny from the U.S. Treasury.
For those commemorative pennies.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an ad for like a John F. Kennedy commemorative penny.
You remember where you were when John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Now.
Celebrate it.
Celebrate it forever.
Forever with this... amazing uncirculated penny collection.
Solid copper commemorative penny.
Coming with a plaque.
That's just in the middle of the movie. Yeah. That's in the middle of the movie, we just get that. Yeah. And then he's like, anyway, Moneypenny. I was saying, also.
The doctor is Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The sexiest of sodas.
I feel like it would be a lot of shots of Pierce Brosnan saying, like, thank you, doctor, and then a cutaway that would make me laugh. Like, thank you, doctor, I hope that you'll give me a clean bill of health. And then it cuts to a big Dr. Pepper can, and then he would do that like 20 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always like, well, M... And M.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just cuts away.
Well, in the Dr. Pepper bit, he's finally at the point where he's trying to seduce her, and then he just reaches up and you hear that.
Oh, hell yeah.
You hear the fucking.
It's like a cut, like a silhouette of them behind the curtain.
And then you just see the fucking spray out.
Yeah.
So carbonated. So sexy.
It's the sexiest way to approach a Dr. Pepper. It's to. Fucking crack that top and let that carbonation spill.
Let it just shake that shit up first.
Yeah, it's just a weird array of mascots is what it is.
I do like that.
Yeah, I mean, because we could just add all the other things that 15-year-old kids were doing at the time.
That's true. So
James Bond would have a Fred Durst beard.
Yeah, Fred Durst.
Because he's all about the nookie.
He is all about that nookie. We got to get some rap metal.
Yeah. We got to get some rap metal.
We got to get some rap metal. We got to get.
Oh, this is post Matrix, so we got to get
some. Actually, I guess it's the same year.
Yeah, so it's not post Matrix. No. Yeah. If it was, they would have had way more.
Leather.
Yeah, sunglasses. Way more fucking leather shit. Yeah.
I do think you're right, though. We got to get some rap rock, some Fred Durst. I feel like maybe some Pokemon.
Yeah. We go throw early James, Pokemon stuff in there.
Can James Bond finally, because James Bond's never really had a sidekick. Can we get him a fucking Pikachu?
Yeah. Or a Psyduck?
A fucking Charmander?
Actually, what's the most suave James Bond Pokemon?
What Pokemon fucks?
Yeah. Other than what's the muscle one?
I don't know. I don't know Pokemon well enough, but someone out there, tell me what Pokemon just, you know, can get it.
I mean, also, apart from Pikachu, who's the one that's
really the mascot. Liked. I mean, what, Mewtwo, right? Mewtwo was... powerful and sexy. I assume sexy.
I mean, in the way a cat is, I guess. Because he's very cat-like.
Okay. Are you searching on your... Because Francisco is now searching on his phone. I assume you have Googled what Pokemon fucks.
Machamp.
And evidently Machamp fucks.
Machamp.
I mean, Champ is right in the name.
Yeah. And He's a super muscular rock dude.
All right.
But there's got to be like a there's a clown guy, so there's got to be like a secret agent Pokemon guy.
You're probably right. Nintendo, hit us up, let us know, or if you don't already have a secret agent Pokemon, copyright TMTMTM.
Yeah, it's Machoke and Machamp are the two. Look up Machamp.
Well, I mean, Machoke, we know what that dude's into.
Yeah. But that's, if you look up Machamp, he's got four arms, first of all, so he can pleasure several ladies.
Yeah, several ladies getting pleasured. I assume probably multiple dicks.
Yeah, he's a very strong dude. He's very muscular.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question of which Pokemon fucks.
Is it?
Yeah, and which one would be his good psychic? I mean, maybe you don't want a Pokemon that fucks because James Bond fucks.
Or do you want a sexy lady sidekick that acts like Moneypenny, like with a will-they-won't-they thing?
So, I mean, the sexiest of all the Pokemon ladies is Jigglypuff, right? So,
sure.
So, just a little round singing Jigglypuff.
It's always like, hey, James, jiggle, jiggle.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, you create some tension there.
Yeah, exactly. Because
James Bond doesn't want to fuck Jigglypuff.
But.
But it's kind of like Peter Pan and Tink.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, exactly yeah, like yeah, she's over-sexing in it. And he's like, not about it.
Yeah.
He's much more about the humans.
Maybe one day.
Or he's banging other Pokemon.
Yeah.
He's about the weird smoke ones.
So insubstantial.
Yeah. Oh, there's got to be like a Scotch Pokemon, right? Like maybe there's yes. like a Pokemon that really likes
Japanese
whiskey.
Japanese game for children is a Pokemon that is just a bottle of Scotch.
A bottle of whiskey. It's yeah. There's got to be one. There's got to be
a
one.
Bottle of fucking. Why can't I think of that very famous
Suntory? Suntory Times?
Yeah, Suntory Times, yeah. The Bill Murray one.
Yeah, all right. Either way, you throw some Pokemon in here.
Also, do you realize Suntory has bought like a bunch of Scottish distilleries? Crazy. Anyways.
Yeah, weird. Japanese.
Yeah, taking over the world just like the 80s told us.
They did because they did even throw in a Y2K joke they do, in yeah. this. So even, you know, you get up the ante at 99.
Exactly.
Go full 99.
Go full 99.
Yeah. And I think that's what we fix this movie.
Yep. We go with
Fred Durst and Pokemon. Fred Durst with a Pokemon sidekick,
Fred,
I think.
That has never fixed anything until now, but it's fixed this.
Yes.
So that's the end of the podcast. That's the end of this. This is the last time we're talking about Bond for a good long while, at the very least.
Yeah, because we don't talk about the next one because it was 2002.
Yeah.
We don't talk about GoldenEye because it didn't make enough money. Yeah. This is going to be the last one for this
decade. James, thank you for your service. We salute you.
Yeah.
We're not British.
Yeah, you went out with a flicker and not a bang. Yeah. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah, that's true. This may be the four ones that we've watched for the podcast, this may be my least favorite.
It is my least favorite. Yeah. And I had high hopes for it. I really remember it being better than this.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyways. We'll be back next time with another exciting adventure of
movie stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Of 90s movie stuff. Until then.
Until then, check out the pod everywhere the podcasts are podcasted. Tell your friends. Subscribe, like, share. Hit us up on Patreon. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. And until next time, I'm E.G. Science.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night. And a good journey.
We love you.